his name. So my iPad hasn't seen my face with a microphone in front of it. All right, recognize me now? Praise the Lord. It's nice to be back together once again, and we just so appreciate what the Lord did for us this morning, and we're ready for round two tonight. I don't think the devil's ready, but ready or not, here it comes. Amen. We're just so thankful for his goodness, his mercy, and he's an on-time God. He provides for all of our needs. He never disappoints. He exceeds our expectations. A couple of things that I just wanted to mention here real quick. Our brother Chris Becerra had called earlier today, and first of all, he wanted to thank you for your prayers. He's in California right now, and his sister was on life support, and they've taken her off of that, so she's breathing on her own, and he's just asking that you would continue to keep his sister in prayer, and I told him that we would be faithful to do that, to bring this need before the body once again. Also, we heard just a little while ago, our brother Tim Hayton, pastor back in on the other side of the country, North Carolina, I believe. His nephew, who is about 20 years old, took his own life, and it's his sister's son. And so remember that in prayer. Remember the family and everybody that's affected. We know it impacts a lot of people. There's certainly nothing that can be done with the passing of our brother, but for those of us that remain, it can be quite a hardship. And so we just ask the Lord would give comfort and strength. And you know, may it be a wake-up call for others, perhaps. You know, can pray that something good would come out of it. And then also, I need to testify here tonight because our brother told us that this morning, right? Need to testify. So 3 months ago, so every year I have blood work done. You know, you go to the doctor. Doctor takes your blood and tells you what's in it and what isn't and what's right and what isn't right. And for several years, I was being told you need to change your diet. And, of course, the things that I was being told to change my diet to didn't make a whole lot of sense. But one thing was for sure, you know, my blood work wasn't good. My cholesterol was high. My triglycerides were high. You know, all those things that are kind of a product of the age that we're living in. And so, as many of you know, the Lord directed us to go on a different kind of a diet. And we, by God's grace, we've been trying to follow that as faithfully as we can for, I guess it's almost been 3 years now. Anyway, so I had the blood work done in 3 months ago. And I'm sure that my doctor is probably bragging about me. She doesn't. They have so many different patients that they're seeing all the time, and they usually don't. They have to write things down to remember specific things about you, but she remembered me because there's nothing wrong with my cholesterol or triglycerides or all of that, right? And we give the Lord praise and honor and glory for that. But there's one other thing that they generally want to track with males, and that is they do a test to, they call it a PSA test, and that is a prostate-specific antigen. And an antigen is something that will cause a response from your immune system. And so this one is specific to the prostate. And so they monitor that, and they've found that if that raises up above a certain level, that it's a indication that there's something wrong, and most likely it's cancer, right? So last September, my PSA test came back, and it was like four orders of magnitude higher than it's ever been before, right? And when my doctor told me about it, she was very concerned. And we're on part 42 of, I'm not going to fear, right? Right? So we have nothing to fear. My doctor was kind of spun up and kind of worried, and I said, oh, don't worry about it. You know, we can next time I come in, I'm scheduled to come back in 3 months. You can just redo the test, and it'll be fine. And she was a little dubious. She was already ready to have me make an appointment with a doctor that specializes in that kind of stuff. And so she asked me, so did your dad have prostate cancer? Yes. Did your grandpa have prostate cancer? Yes. Any others in your family? Yes, yes, yes. Well, you need to go see this. The name escapes me. Urologist. Thank you. That would be next, right? Oncologist would be next. That's a cancer doctor, right? Urologist. So they specialize in... Anyway, we'll leave that one alone. It wouldn't be my first calling, but... Anyway... I just committed to the Lord, as our brother reminded us once again this morning. The title of one of the tracts that was handed out is Do You Fear Cancer? Right? The thing to be concerned about is fear, right? But why should you fear, right? Anyway, you know where this is headed, right? So I went back this last Tuesday. They ran tests and everything else that was normal once again. I think my white blood cell count was down for some reason. Well, it's normal now. And my PSA is normal. So. We give God thanks, honor, and glory. Amen. And Allie, you can tell my son that he's got my genes and he has nothing to worry about. All right? The devil has a right to come and irritate us and poke at us, but we have a right to stand for our God-given rights and claim what belongs to us. Amen. So I just wanted to share that because we need to share our testimonies, right? When the Lord, we hear enough bad news and that spreads just, you don't even have to pay for bad news. It'll just come, right? But good news, right? What our Lord is doing amongst us. Amen. So we're going to invite our brother Timothy to come. And, I kind of rushed things this morning because I wanted to get out of the way as quick as I could to have him bring what the Lord put on his heart. But he's a good friend of ours, and we've known him for many years, and we love him. And he's a true servant of God. He travels different parts of the country, different countries to minister to God's children. And so we thank the Lord for him. And we appreciate him, and we just want him to have his liberty once again here tonight. Amen. And bring what the Lord has put on his heart. How many can say they were blessed this morning? Amen. 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 He counts the stars. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. He's in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Amen. You believe that tonight? Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. Have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the
can't see the light of day, well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Yes, he does. Amen. He knows my name. Hallelujah. Yes, he knows my name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the living God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be worshipped. Our kinsman redeemer, our friend of Calvary, our Lord and our God, our soon coming King. What a day it will be when our eyes shall behold him. It will be glorious. It will be wonderful. Let's keep pressing on. For we have not believed cunningly devised fables. This is thus saith the Lord. We've heard from above. We've heard from our Father calling. And think about it. He knows your name.
Amen.
He knows our names.
Hallelujah.
He knows everything about us.
Amen.
And he cares for us.
Amen.
You believe he knows your name?
Amen.
Wow. Because of that, he went to Calvary. He will never lose any. He will never lose one of his own. He knows our names. Placed in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Let us pray. Unto thee, the immortal one, the only wise God, the great King, the great I Am, and the all-knowing God, we are grateful unto thee for the price of redemption.
Amen.
We are happy to know you know all of us. You know our names and you know our needs. And Lord, you brought us here for a purpose to serve your cause. We are grateful. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to come to your house. We are your children. We love you. And we know you know all about us. Therefore, we ask this evening, whatever be the needs in the midst of thy people, that you minister unto our needs. Increase our faith, Lord. Help us, Father. Forgive us of all our negligences and all our shortcomings. And help us, for without you we can do nothing.
Yes.
Once again, step us out of the way.
Yes.
And may the blessed Holy Spirit come.
Amen.
And minister unto every need.
Yes.
Heal the sick, Lord. Set the captives free.
Amen.
Lord, save the sinner and restore the backslider.
Amen.
Let the saints of God be strengthened.
Yes.
And once again, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yes.
The only nation that is called by your name, the God of Israel. May you undertake for Israel.
Yes.
We thank you. Bless our fellowship. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving.
Amen.
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 So God bless you. We are welcome back to the house of the Lord. And we thank the Lord so much for his faithfulness. He has promised, and they will never fail. Let's continue holding on to his word of promise. Let us read this evening from the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And also read from Isaiah 45. Numbers 13. Let's read from Numbers 13. Verse 27. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Amen. Isaiah 45. Let's read a verse from Isaiah 45. Verse 22. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Shall we please be seated? It's always a blessing to read the Bible, to read the word of the Lord. We believe it. It is the word of the infallible God. And the Bible tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord will never pass away. Brother Branham said, "The word of the Lord will always prevail." So we can hang our souls on that word. Just to encourage ourselves this evening, we want to speak on keep your eyes on the promise, looking at the promise of God. The Bible tells us that God is not a man, neither the son of a man, that he should say something that he will not do it. Whatever God says, he will do it. The prophet said, God is true to his promise, no matter what he has to do. God is true to his promise, no matter what he has to do. Bankrupt the heavens before he will let his word go defeated. He never made a promise that he can't keep. When he said, "I am the Lord that heals all thy diseases. When they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover." God is true to his word. And every promise that he made, he swore by himself. He told Abraham, by myself I have sworn. That in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. He told Abraham, when he spoke about the seed of Abraham, going to a strange land, and they will be there. And 400 years, I will come after I will deliver them. He meant it. He told Abraham, you will grow old. You will die in a good old age. But what I am telling you, you don't have to be here. I will do it. Amen. Because his promises are yea and amen. He is not a man. There is no situation that can overtake him. There is nothing that will make him to apologize for what he says. Because he knows from the beginning to the end. He is the Ancient of Days. The omnipotent, the all-knowing God. He knew us and he knew our names. And he knew this evening before the foundation of the world that you'll be sitting where you are sitting. He knew the dress you'll be wearing. Everything he does know. So there is nothing that is happening in your life and in the world today that our God does not know. And we should be happy to know that our God knows all things. And we should be happy to know that our God controls all things. And we should be happy to know that our God is mindful of us. Like I always tell the people, when the Bible says mind is full of us, mindful, mind is full. God's mind is full of you. You are the only thing that he thinks about. He thinks about you. What am I going to do for my daughter? What am I going to do for this? Oh, I know he has this. Oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to do this. I plan for him. So, all God's mind is full of you. Because you are part of him. We are part of him. We are his own. We are his children. When a mother has his children, even animals, they are always mindful of their children, their little ones. Even animals, when they have babies, they don't want anybody to come between them and their little ones. Because if he sees somebody coming in between and he realizes that the little one is in danger, he will fight. The animal will fight. Fight to death. To make sure that his little ones are protected. And if animals will fight for their little ones, what about Papa? What about the Most High God? What about the Great Jehovah? Who controls the universe? He will fight for his children. I love the scriptures when I read, they say, and God fought for Israel. And God fought for Israel. And God is still fighting for Israel. And not only is God fighting for Israel, God is fighting for you. He's fighting for his elect, for his own children, the people that he purchased with his own blood. For our sakes, he gave his life. To pay for the penalty he paid with his life. That is how precious you are to him. Brother Branham said, we are more precious to God than the blood that was shed. Because we are the purchase of the blood. He gave the blood to buy you back. So that's how precious we are to him.
If we come to know these things and believe these things, and these things become a reality to us, we will walk confidently. Knowing that our Father is mindful of us. The promises that he has given in his word, it's not for himself, it's for his children. And the prophet said, every redemptive blessing is for us. He told us that when we become Christians, we are given a checkbook that is already signed. The name of Jesus under it. It is signed. And it's given to you for the journey. For every need that you and I, we have need of, it is signed. All that it has to do, we have to do is fill in. And take it to the bank. The bank of heaven is open. It's not closed. Lord, increase our faith. Yes. That these things are for us. It's not for our Father. It's for his children. Yes, and we are his children. Not because we are. No, it's not. He did not save us because we are good people. He saved us by his grace because he predestinated us. That is his choice. Jacob I love, Esau I hate. We know the story of Jacob as we were speaking about. He said, if you see grace, that is grace. Because you talk about Esau, a very good friend. He take care of his father. He does this. But before they were born, when they were in the womb of their mother, God said to Rebecca, two nations are in your womb. But the elder shall serve the younger. That is Jehovah's decision. Amen. He had the power to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel to dishonor. That's his choice. Right. Who are thou? He is the potter. We are the clay. So grace found you. Not because I was a good boy. Not because you were anybody. But grace found you. And pick you, say, come in. Oh, thank God for amazing grace. No wonder when we cross over, we will sing amazing grace. We will sing the songs of redemption, and the angels will be quiet. They will not understand what we are talking about. Because they have never been redeemed. Do you remember angels also fell in the beginning? But when the angels fell, God did not make provision to save them. But when the Son fell, when Adam fell, he came down. Amen. Hallelujah. To save the Son. And the prophet of God said, hallelujah. Well, sorry if I said the prophet said and it disturbs you. I can't help it because the prophet said it. And I believe what he said. The prophet said, a servant and a son, who has authority at home? A servant and a son, who has a right? He said the son. And they said, we have more authority, more right in the sight of God than the archangel. He's talking about you. That you and I will come to the recognition of who we are. God made us who we are. God chose us. And he said, this is who you are. He chose Abraham and said, I have made you. And he has made us kings and priests. We are his sons. The Bible says, now are we the sons of God. We are. Not we are going to be. We are now. You are now. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have accepted the finished work of Calvary, if you recognize that Jesus died in your place, he said through the cross, we become the seed of Abraham. We are God's own people. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't care what you think or anybody think. God says so. I didn't choose myself, but he chose me. And I'm grateful to him for choosing me. And he chooses us. And he brought us together. Think about it. You know where I'm coming from? Somewhere. But here am I today. How? God pre-planned and pre-arranged. And he knew that before the foundation of the world, you will be here and I'll be here. We come from the lands afar. We come from different here, different there. And here we are today. And we are going to spend eternity together. Oh, hallelujah. What a day it will be. My brothers and my sisters, don't play church. Make sure you meet him at the backside of the desert like Jacob met him. And when Jacob met him, everything changed. Oh, and when you meet him, everything will change. Your thinking will change. Oh, your association will change. Your conduct will change. Your behavior will change. Your friends will change. Hallelujah. You become a new person. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things has become new. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whew. You can choose to sit there and be quiet. I will voice it out. I know you say this boy is crazy. I said, fine. I'm crazy for Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. We will sing the songs of redemption. And the angels will be quiet. Because when angels fell, God didn't make provision to save them. But when the sun fell, he came down. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. The Bible says he has given unto us great, exceeding, precious promises. That by these promises, you and I will become partakers of his divine nature. He has given promises. We have been predestinated unto adoption of sons and daughters. To be like Christ. And so, whether the devil like it or not, we'll be like Christ. Because God has signed it. God has proposed it. He has signature, and nobody can change it. Satan can be jealous. We don't care. He's jealous. He said he wants to be worshipped. He's jealous because we are out of his kingdom. Once we were controlled by him. Once we were ruled by him. But now we have been redeemed. We have been taken out. The mighty power of God took us out. And God will not save you today and lose you tomorrow. No way. You will not do that. And God will not do that. He did not save you to lose you tomorrow or after a year. No way. He will never lose any of his own. He will go to any length. He will go any level, any depth, any height to bring his children out. Listen, he can cause war to get his children out. He can do anything, change government, change rulers, do anything for the sake of his people. When he told Abraham, your seed will be in a strange land, and after 400 years I'll bring them. He knew all about it already. And he knew how they would go to Egypt. He knew how there would be a Pharaoh who never knew Joseph. He knew everything about it. And so he is the master architect, the master planner. And he will make everything to work together for our good. There are many things we may not understand it, but he understands it. So it is good to cast our cares upon him because he understands it. Don't trouble your head. You will not understand it. We are not asked to understand. We are asked to believe. We are asked to take him at his word. For he has promises. When the morning comes, you will understand. You will know why. Why whatever happened in your life, you will know. What are we saying this evening? Keep your eyes
on the promise of God. Look to the promise of God. In this hour that we are living in this world of sin, in this world of confusion, where there is fear and panic, nations are troubled, world leaders are troubled, everybody is afraid of everybody. Big nations are afraid of small nations are afraid of big nations. Everybody is afraid. Brother Branham said, it will take just one drunkard, one crazy man to pull the trigger, everything will be out. But he said, before that bomb will drop, we'll be out of here. We'll be out of here. He gave us a promise. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. The prophet of God said, if humans today will know the advancement of science, things that man has brought out, manufactured, scientific achievement, what science has done, he said, people will be screaming. Fear. Because science has gone very far, very deep. But we have a promise. He said he would take care of us. He said he would take care of us. He said, fear no little flock. I am there for you. I am your father. I am your God. I am your redeemer. Ooh, glory to God. I'm feeling very good about it. To know that we have a big father. We have a great Jehovah. And he knows all about, and he knows my name, and he knows your name. If he knows your name, then he knows your needs. So, you don't have to worry. You just have to believe. Brother Branham said, God don't want his children to worry. He wants his children to believe him. Because there is no virtue in worrying. No virtue in it. So God said in the book of Isaiah, look unto me. I am God, and there is none like me. None other. I am God. And I wonder in this time that we are living in now, what could we look to that will be more solid than God? And God is the Word. So look to the Word of today for your answer. Look to the Word of God for today for your answer. The Bible has the answer for this day. It has had answer for other days, and it has the answer for today. Because he is the unchangeable God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible has the answer. Because the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ being revealed since the foundation of the world. He has been revealed in the form of prophets. He has been revealed in the form of kings and in the form of lawgivers, because that is what he is. The king, the prophet, the lawgiver. He is everything. Hallelujah. So God said, look to me. If you have a problem, he said, look to me. Don't look around you. Look to me. Keep your eyes on the promises. Because his promises are yea and amen. Do you know there is something about what you look at? What you look at affects you. Brother Bram said the eye is a gateway to your soul. What caused the trouble of the world? Because Eve looked at something. She looked and she saw the tree. It was good. And
it channels through, it passes through. So what you look at affects you positively or negatively. So God wants us to look at him. And God is one with his word. He has given you great, exceeding, precious promises. Look at my promise. Look at me. Because what you look at affects you. In the Bible, in Genesis, that same Jacob we're speaking about. Genesis 30. 40 somewhere there. Jacob made a trick on his father-in-law. He said, his father-in-law, Laban, he said, I've worked for you. You don't give me correct pay. Every time you change my pay. Okay. So, he did a trick. Whatever happened, I don't know. He said, he cut some poplar trees and then the stakes and rot and he fixed them together. In a way, and when the strong animals, cattle, want to give birth, they come in a place and they look at those things. Right. And the Bible says when they look at it, they give birth that way. Right. What you look at, you birth it. Yeah. It passes through, it tunnels. Yes. So Jacob made that trick over there. I don't know. The Bible says so. I'm just quoting Bible. And when the animals come, he fix them and they keep looking at those things and then they give birth according to those colors that they were looking at. It gets right into their system somehow, some way. So there is something about what you look at. And God tells you, hey, look at me. Are we together? Yeah. If there is nothing about what we look at, why do they have so much adverts? Advertising this, advertising that. Why do they have it? You think they will spend millions of dollars, thousands of dollars, and advertise things if it is no effect? There is something about it. So they spend money, thousands, big boss, different things. Oh, adverts here and there. And when people look at, people are attracted. Sometimes you have not even made up your mind to buy something. But just the adverts, like you have those flyers. Sometimes they give you free, whatever you call them here. Those pamphlets they give you from the malls and whatever. And they advertise some things and cheap prices and you come and you get some good, you know what I'm trying to explain. And then you go through, say, they reduce price. The women like buying things. Because they are buying products. So they like buying products. So they take all these pamphlets and then they just be looking. Sometimes some of those things, you don't even need them. You don't need them. There are some things that you bought, you don't even know where they are. Still you are buying. You look at this, you look. So there is something about what you look at. What Eve looked at affected her. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. It's look unto me. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at your enemy. Don't look at yourself. Keep your eye on God's word. Because the word will prevail no matter what. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, God loves us so much. In this crucial hour that we are living in, Jehovah is calling his children. He said, look to me. Hold on to my word. Take my promises. I will not fail you. What made our Abraham that we talk about? Because this man was a man of like passion as you and I. Elijah, different one. But what made the difference? When God called Abraham, he believed the promise. Yes, when God spoke to him, I have made you a father of nations. And I will bless you. I will multiply you. Abraham believed it. He held on to the promise. And the Bible tells us he did not stagger through unbelief. He was strong believing. He was strong. He was believing. He was until when even he has given birth at the age of 100. And God tells him after 100 years, take your son and go and sacrifice him for me. He believed it. Because God has told him, out of Isaac, thy seed shall be called. What made him to go? What made him to stand? What made him? And he said, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Amen. When Isaac said, Papa, how will this happen? How will I get where? How will you get where? Where are we going to get the ram for sacrifice? This is the fire. Where is the ram? He said, God will provide. Let's go. Amen. I'm not waiting for nothing. Let's go. Yes, you come to a point and there are, you don't even know what the next meal will be coming from. What will be happening here and there. But if you can hold on to the promise. If you can hold to the promise. Look to the promise of God. Jehovah will make a way. He is still Jehovah Jireh. The same yesterday, today and forever. In a moment of time. In a twinkle of an eye. He can change everything. Your story will change. Your testimony will change. Your song will change. You will sing a new song. If you look to the promise of God. Oh, he's still God today. We believe him. That's why we have a promise. That one of these days, the old shall be young forever. We shall be changed. The dead in Christ arise. The living in Christ shall be changed. There will be no sicknesses. There will be no headache. There will be no prostate challenge. Or no TB. Or no cancer. No, everything the Bible said. Behold, I make everything new. He gave us that promise. And God will keep his promise no matter what. So I swore by myself. I will do it. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. That is the same God we are serving today. Amen. Look to that promise. Amen. Confess the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. The prophet said here, in order to stay with God, stay gentle. God is gentle. In order to stay with God, stay with love. God is love. Stay meek. Stay. Not, never be self-sufficient. Always rely upon him. Never use your own mind. Take his thoughts. Let his thoughts be your thoughts. And take them into your carnal mind and repeat them over and repeat them over. Take the word, repeat them over, repeat them over. Do what? Do what? Take his word and repeat them over and over and over. And say, oh God, take all my doubts away. And let my thoughts be your thoughts. And you sick people, do that as we are speaking. Do that as we are speaking. Just take away, cast away the thought of sickness. Take God's healing thoughts. Let them become your thoughts. Think on these things, the Bible said. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Keep your eyes on the promise. Because his promises are yea and amen. His unfailing words of promise. He's still God today. He said, I am God, I change it not. Whatever he has promised, he's more than able to do it. Our human minds cannot comprehend it. No way. Cannot. Because he makes, he said, he catches the wise in their own, you know, he turns their, the wisdom of this world is foolish to him. Their wisdom, he turns it to foolishness. He said, if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would not have done it. If the devil had knew that if Jesus died, I would be saved. And you will be saved. And there will be more Jesuses. He would never have done it. He would have left him to walk. But he didn't know. He thought he was doing something. Hallelujah. And God allowed him to die. To pay the price so that you and I will all come out. And now Satan is regretting. He will continue to regret. He will cry. Oh, hallelujah. Whoa, we are out. I know he hates me, but I also hate him. Yes? He's not my brother. He's not my friend. He's my enemy. He's against my God. I'm against him too. We are children of God. Whatever our father hates, we hate it. Praise the Lord. Listen, don't be afraid of me, for me. No. If I die, then God has finished with me. Yeah. I tell people sometimes, oh, when you want to testify, if you testify, the sickness will come again. I say, hey, I will testify, Satan. If sickness come again, God will heal me again. Yes. Oh, yes. We should not be tormented by the fear of death. Brother Brennan said death is not bad. It's the condition in which you die. As Christians, redeemed of the Lord, we should never be afraid. We should never be tormented by the fear of death. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Don't let the devil torment you. Be sure of your stand. Know whom we have believed. There is a better place for us. A land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever. Hallelujah. Our Lord is the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He's still the resurrection and the life. Keep your eyes on that promise. The promises of God are good. Great and exceeding promises. We have that checkbook with us. Fill in that form. And submit it. And wait for it. Stay gentle. Stay meek. Stay loving. Stay sweet. I love. Brother Abraham say, somebody say you are the Antichrist. He said, praise God. If that is the will of my father. He said, I love God. If at the end of the day he sent me to her, I will still love him there. I will still love him there. He said, because I want to do his will. And if his will for me to be a devil, fine. This man that loves God. And you call this man a hypocrite? You call this man a liar? Lord have mercy. When the people that knew him and the testimony they give about him say, the most humble, humblest of all men, that man William Branham. Hallelujah. So, brethren, there is something about what you look at. So look at the promises of God, because they are yea and amen, and God knows how to bring his word to pass. There are things when you look at, it will cripple you. It will bound you. And that is why the children of Israel didn't go to the promised land. What would they say? When Moses sent the spies to go and spy the land, they came back. They say, hey, we saw the Anakites there. We saw the Amorites there. We saw the Jebusites there. And this one there, and the people are strong, and the city is war, and this, and that, and that. And in our eyes, we look like grasshoppers. And that's how we look in their eyes too. Who told you? You are deceived. How can you see the way somebody is? See, this is the way I'm looking in your sight. And so they saw all these things, and they didn't see the promises of God. They saw the Anakites, they saw the Jebusites, they saw this and that and that, and they didn't see the promise of God. They didn't confess the promise of God. They were just looking. I told somebody, I said, sister, don't be looking at your enemies or the challenges you have in your place of work. This one is against me, this one is against me. Don't look that. Because the more you look at that, the more you are being defeated. You are deflated. This one is against me. Forget about that. Somebody told me, I said, oh, you, even if somebody hates you, don't see. I said, yeah, I'm happy. I don't want to see that. I'm not interested in who hates me. I'm interested in who loves me. Why should I worry my head if somebody hates me? If you hate me, it's up to you. You are the one that will suffer it, not me. Keep your eyes on the promise. Because we have a promise that I will even make your enemies to be at peace with you. We have a promise. They were looking at the obstacles. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, notice here, notice Caleb here, the people had just come back, the spies from over into the promised land. They were at Kadesh Barnea. They had been brought through many trials and had seen the hand of God. Very beautiful picture of the full gospel church. And many of them had become discouraged. Discouraged and upset because of so many different isms and things has happened in the church. But that don't take away the real thing. No, this message we have, many isms, this one rises up with this, but it doesn't take away the reality. This one said this, tomorrow this one has coming, but it doesn't take away the reality. There is a vindicated message. The prophet of God said, God has vindicated the truth to you. The prophet said, many things are in the air, many things are flying, more will be coming, but the Lord your God has vindicated the truth. So, it does not take away the real thing from it. Oh, this one said this, and that one said, oh yes, it has always been that way. But there is a bride, there is an elect, there are chosen ones that are walking right in the middle of the way, that are keeping their balance. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they came back. There was 10 of the spies that came back and said, oh, it is impossible for us to do it. Why? Their great places are walled, and they are giants in the land. We nearly look like grasshoppers to the side of them. Oh, we are a failure. We can't do it.
10 spies say we cannot do it.
Because they were looking at the wrong things. Instead of looking at the promise. Instead of looking at what God said. Oh my God. These people just forgot themselves.
Listen, church, remember this. If they want to see miracle, they don't have to go somewhere to see miracle. The miracle was right there. Their own clothes for 40 years. Never grow old. Didn't grow threadbare. The shoes they wear. The miracle was on them.
Amen.
And they didn't see it. They forgot. Oh, that the clothes they have been wearing for 40 years, they were wearing it.
And these people were complaining. God, why you didn't make me like this one? God, you didn't make me like this one. And many a time we come to that same spot. Because you look at, oh, this sister, everything is fine with me. That family, everything is fine with them. This one. You have been deceived by the devil. You have been deceived. And when you begin to think about, you become selfish and self-centered. And then when you should be thanking God, you begin to murmur against God. You begin to complain. Because you are not looking at the right thing. I wish this is this. I wish this is that. I wish this. Let me remind you, Church of the Living God. There is nobody under the sun here that is not having one challenge or the other. Everybody has his own challenge. Everybody has his own trial. Your trial might be different from mine. Mine is different from yours. So, don't just see that, say, oh, for this one is fine. Everything is fine with this one. And you become jealous. You become envious. Because you think everything is fine. And you think he doesn't have any problem. And then you think and you become miserable. The way to be miserable is to be self-centered. Think about yourself. The prophet of God said, if you want to be happy, make somebody happy. Christianity is living for others, not yourself. If you want everybody to understand you, I want you to know today that everybody will not understand you. Everybody will not understand. Why should everybody understand you? Everybody will not understand you. But this is what I will advise you to do. Pray to God, help me to understand. If you can understand, you can live with everybody. If I can understand you, why you come to church and you are dozing? Yeah. Because some people are dozing. Hey, if I see you dozing, I will call your name and wake you up. Sorry, I don't know your name, but I will let somebody call you. Yeah. Hey, don't play with me because I'll do it. If you are feeling sleepy, get up, wake up before. Because you tell me I'll embarrass you. No, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to help you. Because you did not come from your house to come and sleep. So I will not let the devil deprive you. So please, if you are feeling sleepy, shake yourself before I call somebody to wake you up. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hey, don't play with me because I do it. I know you said, Pastor, don't let this brother come here again. It's fine. Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. I feel very much at home. So brothers, listening, don't let the devil tell you that. And you pity yourself. Why me? Why me? Why me? Why not you? Why not you? Do you want it to be me? So that you tell me, brother, God give you strength. Speak to yourself too. Comfort yourself. Yes. Encourage yourself. Yes. The Bible said David, at a point in his life, his wife and children have been taken away. The enemy have captured their people. And even the brothers, his soldiers that were with him, they turned against him. They begin to speak against David. They want to stone David. And David began to cry. And the Bible said, but David encouraged himself. And he got up. Because if you want to cry, you sit there and cry, nothing will come out of it. Complain, nothing will come out of it. The more you complain, the more you are sinking. Self-pity is of the devil, it's not of God. Keep your eyes on the promise. Because God can make a way anytime. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You are different. You are peculiar. I am different. I'm peculiar. Every one of us. And we are here for specific purposes. It's not because God doesn't care for you. It doesn't mean that, oh, God loves this brother more. No. We were all purchased with the same blood. But you are here for a purpose, and I'm here for a purpose. You have been ordained and fashioned to stand something. You are, a soldier, an army, a unit of the army. We have been placed at strategic places, positions to fight. They have the Air Force, they have the Sea Force, they have, if the Israelis are fighting today, they have different forces that are doing different things. And God has different forces. We have been assigned to different positions to serve the living God. So don't compare yourself to anybody. You are different. I am different. Your wife is different. Your husband is different. Our children are different. Every one of the disciples, they had different purposes. That is why when Peter was in jail, the angel of the Lord came down because the brothers were praying. And the angel went and brought him out. Paul and Silas went to jail. I believe the brethren pray also. And they begin to sing. And they begin to worship God in prison. Peter was sleepy. Paul and Silas were praising God. Peter was sleeping in the midst of two soldiers. Paul and Silas were singing and clapping and worshiping. The angel of the Lord came down and he woke Peter. Come on, get up. And I used to say, the angel didn't come midnight because he was afraid of the soldiers. But that is how God chose to do it at that time. Because the people were praying at that time. So that tomorrow you and I will get encouraged to know that if there is anything, we should pray. The angel came down. He woke him up. Those men were still sleeping. When Peter woke up, they were still sleeping. The angel went before him, opened the door, opened the door, opened the door. They went out. Peter woke up, the chains fell off. And I said, may your chains also fall off from you. Whatever chain, whatever entanglement, may it fall in the name of Jesus Christ. May you be loose. May you be free. May you be delivered. Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus is real. He's still the Savior. He's still the healer. Whatever entanglement, whatever bondage you are in, whatever bondage of sin or habit or drinking or smoke, whatever they might be, may your chains fall off. And be free in Jesus' name. Because he sent forth his word to set the captives free, to heal us and loose us. Peter got up. And then he said, follow me. And this door opened. And that door opened. The door that they thought could never be open. Somebody else, the angel went there. Nobody thought it opened. And may God open the doors before his church. May he open the door before his people. May he give us strength and courage to press forward. Amen. Go, the doors will open. Move. Amen. Obey the word. Follow. Amen. The door that has to be open will be open. By the power of the Most High God. Amen. Demons will flee. Diseases will go. Captives will be set free. In the name of Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation. Look at the promise. Paul and Silas begin to praise God. They were singing and worshiping God. And the Bible said, other prisoners heard them. They were singing in prison. In prison, yes, they were singing. If they could sing in prison, what about we in church? They were singing and clapping. After they have been beaten and bleeding, forget about that. They made the devil ashamed. If they are sad and crying, oh, Satan will be here, I got you. They made Satan ashamed. We should stand and make the devil ashamed. Yeah. Stand as a believer. Stand as a Christian. As a warrior. As a daughter of God. As a child of the King. And make the devil ashamed. Let Satan regret for touching you. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, others refuse deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Faith endures. They stood there. They said, no, if only you deny Christ. He said, hey, we pledge allegiance to the Lamb of God. We will never deny Christ. We love him. We will live for him. Hallelujah. They made the devil ashamed. Paul and Silas, after they have been beaten and they sang in worship the Lord, the prison doors open. The prison door open. They were still there. In the morning, when the officer woke up, he saw the door open. He wanted to kill him. He said, don't kill. We are here. What? You are there? He said, yes. What type of prisoners are these? I believe that man might have seen a lot of prisoners breaking jail. And he knew the consequence. That's why I want to kill him, chef. Paul said, we are here. Don't do any evil to yourself. You are there. That man's attitude changed right away. That man's conduct changed. That man's life changed. Why did they go to prison? For that family. Paul and Silas went to prison for that man to be saved. He said, what shall I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou and thy house shall be saved. Amen. In the morning, they called. They said, let those men go. Paul and Silas said, we should go where? We are not going anywhere. You took us, you beat us in public. We are Roman citizens. And you just beat us in public. You are telling us to go. Let those men come themselves and take us out of here. We are not going. They made the devil ashamed. Believers, they stood on the word of the Lord. Brothers, look, we are here for a purpose. Know whom we have believed. And know that God has a purpose for your life. Face your trial. Stand your trial. As a warrior, as a believer. And let the devil be ashamed. Don't come to church as you are begged to come to church or somebody force you. No. Come confidently. Come with assurance. Come with joy. Knowing that I'm going to my father's house. And once I get to my father's house, I'm going to talk it over with him. And I know things will change. Oh, glory. Keep looking at the promise. Never compare your life to anybody. You are unique. You are different. Hallelujah. Hold on to that promise. Now, what made Caleb so sure of it when the opposition was so great? It is according to what you are looking at. It's according to what you are looking at. Caleb was looking at the promise of God. The other 10 were looking at the circumstances. If you go to look at the circumstance or to look at what is around you, you are sure to fail. But you must never look at what is around you. The prophet spoke here and said, what if that man sitting here, there, look at the opposition, that's somebody in the church he was referring to there, by his boy there, a cripple in that chair, what if this nice, clean looking man sitting back there in the wheelchair look at the circumstances? What if the lady lay in that chair, leaning back, look at the circumstances? What if this poor blind woman leaning on a shoulder of another thought of the circumstances. The doctor has said, the doctor has tried. He said, he's a man like I am, like you are. And if you look at that, then you are going to be a failure to begin with. The prophet said, the doctor must have done his best. He said, but God is here to do his best. The doctor must have done his best. And he don't know what to do again. But God is yet to do his best for you. Believe the word of the Lord. God is yet to do the best for me.
When I was sick those days, and I said, this also shall pass. This also shall pass. And it's passed.
Keep confessing the word of the Lord. And never compare your life to anybody. Because
Brother Branham said, God can commit you to death or to suffering. That is sovereign. His own prerogative. That's his choice. And if God commit me to death and to suffering, praise the Lord. I'm telling you. As I've said it before, I lost my wife before. I was 27 years old, boy. When we come to believe the message of the hour, we have the little group. That was the first shock that I had. The first thing that happened to us when the whole town was against us, my wife died. A young man, what is this? But what came to me at that crucial hour is God don't make mistakes. I said, God, you don't make mistakes. It's not by mistake that this woman, sister, is dead. I say, if this is your will, I will serve you. Thank God I'm still serving God today. Amen. We have a lot of superstitions in Africa. If your wife died, or you have to do this, you have to do that. So many things. My father was speaking. My neighbors, my relations, my aunt. Everybody was speaking. You have to do this, you have to do that. No. I said, no. The Bible said, till death we do part. That's all that I was holding on to. The word says so. I'm not going to do nothing. If you don't do it, the spirit of the woman will come and disturb you. We'll do this and that, and you will die. And I said, if God wants me to die, I'm ready to die. Sure. I told my father said, you have to listen to me. Here and there, I am the leader in the head of the family, and you are my son. I said, yeah, but as you are leader in the family, I'm also leader in my church. No, if you don't do this, this will happen to you. I say, hey, if my God is not able to protect me, if my God is not able to save me, I'm ready to die. I cannot give up. I cannot surrender. I cannot lay down on the word of the Lord. Keep your eyes on the promise. All that I knew is God said, death will part. I don't know nothing again. And God stood behind his word. And God took care of his word. Keep your eyes on that promise. Not on your pain. Not on your feeling. Not on what the doctor said. The doctor might have done his best. God is here to do his best. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. God allowed things to happen to us so that we can have testimonies. It's hard when you are going through trials. It's hard when you are going through difficulties. But keep your eyes on the promise. The very God that Daniel believed, and because of what Daniel believed, he went to the lion's den. But the very thing that he believed brought him out of the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because of what they believed, the whole nation was against them, and they threw them to the fire. But they said, our God is able to deliver us. Even if he will not deliver, we will not bow. And we should come to that spot with the revelation of God in our heart. Brother Brown said, if I ask and God doesn't do it for me, I love him the same. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, you are not saying amen again. Oh, praise the Lord. I say hallelujah. Amen. Let's give a clap of him to our Lord. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. 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 What a mighty God we serve.
He's alive. He's real. He's the King of glory. He's the master of the universe. He's the resurrection and the life. He's coming soon. We got a new body waiting for us. We got a new body. This body will be changed. If this earthly tabernacle is destroyed, we have another one. No sickness can enter. No disease can enter. No cancer can enter. Oh, no weakness will be there. He promised us, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Keep your eyes on that promise. Hallelujah. He said one time the test, when the test was on, let me read his side. But the Christian doesn't look at the circumstances. He looks at the word and stands still. God says so, that settles it. What if Abraham looked at the circumstances? If the doctor examined your heart, that kills more people than anything else. That's heart disease. The doctor examined your heart and said, you might drop at any time. You got a mama. That's true. If you look at that, then you are defeated to begin with. Look what God said. One time when the test was on, when the covenant people had come up out of Egypt, led by the Holy Spirit, Moses, the great leader, and the spies had went over into the promised land, 10 of them came back, and they said, we cannot take it. They are too great. We are too small. But there was two, Caleb and Joshua, who had been over there, and they stayed the people. These brothers met God at the backside of the desert. These brothers have been in the presence of the Lord. And when you ever come to the presence of the Lord, your life is changed. You will prevail. And Caleb stood the people before Moses and said, we are well able to go over and take it, because it depends on what you are looking at. Some of them were looking at the obstacles, the great armies, and the great wars, and the great giant size of people. But Caleb was looking at the promise of God. He was looking at the promise of God. What are you also looking at today? What are we looking at? Stop looking at your neighbor. Stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at one another. Stop looking. Like I said, when this corona pandemic came in, people read so much about it until they said, I've gotten corona. They read it and they think they got corona. They had nothing, but what they were reading. They read it, say, eh. Then they begin to examine themselves by what they are reading. Read the Bible. Read the word. Read the promise. And examine your life by the promise. Because what you are feeding on will affect you. What you are looking at will affect you. May God be with us. May God anoint us to be positive. Look at the promise. You will go through. Let me just close by saying this. Looking at the promise. What are you looking at today? What are you examining your life by today? Because we are not asked to depend upon our feelings. I feel this. Brother Branham said, if you depend on your feelings, Satan will whip you. Look at the promise. No wonder Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Look at the promise. You have been given promises. What are we doing with the promises? When are you going to act upon your promises? When are you going to possess your possession? When are you going to claim it? You have a checkbook with you. We have great promises. Are we doing like the woman who had church? The son has sent church and he called them beautiful pictures. And she was dying out of poverty. Yet she has promises. She has church. She has money. She didn't realize what she had. Look at the promise. Keep your eyes on the promise. Hallelujah. Why did Israel fail before Goliath? They were looking at Goliath. They forgot all the promises. But when somebody has met God, a boy came back from the backside of the desert. He has met God. He was not looking at Goliath. He looked at him and said, oh no, this man, I've killed the lion, I've killed the bear. He said, the very God who delivered me from the power of the lion and the bear, he will deliver this one too. I will kill him. Why? He was looking at the promise. He said, God will do it. And God did it. When he met Goliath, he said, you come to me as a Philistine with sword, with spear, with this and that. I come to you in the name of the God of Israel. He will deliver you to me and I will kill you. What are you looking at? Saul was looking at Goliath. He's big. All the soldiers were looking at Goliath. They were looking at the wrong thing. But David was looking at that promise. Lord, help us to turn our eyes from all that is around us, from all that is happening. Brother Branham said there are so many voices on the land. They were all calling for attention. He said there is only one voice that we have to attend to. That's the voice of the Spirit. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. What are you looking at today? Peter, one day Jesus was walking on the sea. In perfect control. The creator of the sea. The master of the ocean. Just walking. Coming to help the church. And they were so troubled. When they saw him, hey, look at this. He said, shh, be still. I'm the one. I'm your Lord. Peter said, if it is you, let me also walk. Jesus, come. He started walking. Oh, he was walking. He was doing very well. As he was looking at Jesus, he was doing very well. Until he stopped looking at Jesus. When he turned his face to the other side, he saw the waves. But all along, the waves have been there. The water has been tossing already. But as he was focused, it didn't bother him. Until he wanted to look around and see what is happening here and there. And he began to sink. Where is your problem? What is happening to you? What are you looking at? What are you majoring on? What are you looking at today? It's time to stop looking here, stop looking there. It's time to keep your eyes on him. It's time to confess the word. It's time to repeat what he says. Say what he says. It's time to confess, and your body will obey your confession. God will allow it. God bless you, church. God be with us, church. Let's keep looking at the promises of God. They are yea. They are amen. Jehovah will never apologize for what he has promised. Keep looking at the promise. Caleb, when he was 85 years old, 40 years in the promised land of 45 years, one day reading the message, he came across a quote of the prophet. Because you have been faithful, because you have been committed, because you were dedicated, because you had a revelation in your heart, because you were faithful, when you were sent to go to Kadesh Barnea and you brought a good report of the land, I give you Hebron. It's for you. That land was there for years until Caleb read it. When he read it, he remembered it. Whoa, this is concerning me. This is me. It's my promise. It's my promise. He took that quote. He took that message to the pastor, Joshua. He said, brother, look at this promise. It's me. I see myself in this picture right away. It's me. Moses, give it to me.
He said, brother, you know what? This is 45 years ago since this promise had been lying down. Now the light has come upon it. Now the sun has shone upon it. Give me my mountain. Amen. Give me my mountain. He said, brother Joshua, I am strong today as I was 45 years ago. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to possess. I'm ready to possess. I'm ready to take over. Give me my mountain. What was it? Looking at the promise. And when you hold the promise, every other things go back. First step out. The strong man of the house. Faith in the promise of God. Remember, the word of the Lord will always prevail. God bless you.
Amen. Let's go to the key of F.